Welcome to this week's edition of Outdoors Online, a weekly webcast produced by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. I'm your host, Mike Anderson. My guest this week is Kevin Kading. Kevin's in charge of the private lands program here at the Game and Fish Department, also known as PLOTS. Kevin, the guide should be out here pretty quick. Give me some background information on that.
Yeah, the 2017 annual PLOTS guide is actually being printed right now as we speak.
A lot of hunters use those in the field.
Absolutely. It's become kind of a necessity out there, and I think just about every hunter's pickup and dashboard's probably got a PLOTS guide laying on it in the fall. So, it outlines all of the lands that are in our program, as well as other public lands that are available for hunting. The format won't be any different than it has been in any other year. There's a lot of other information in there besides the maps. Information about different species and season dates and things like that, and so that'll be changed. That's updated every year. And the maps, wherever there's new lands enrolled, those get updated, but essentially the format's the same, and hunters can probably expect to see some more yellow squares in the PLOTS guide this year. We've added some land to the program, increased it by about 11,000 acres, so that's kind of nice to hear, and they'll just have to start searching around and try to find those areas on their own.
20-year anniversary this year for the PLOTS guide.
Right, yeah, it's hard to believe. I mean, when anything, that's a long time to be doing anything, I guess. But 20 years for the program, it started about 97, and it's been going well ever since. I mean, it's had different changes along the way, and the program's always adjusting, and things are always changing out on the landscape. So our program has to be kind of continually adjusting to that as well. And a lot of things like the CRP and Farm Bill and things like that change on a continual basis too. We're kind of always chasing that and adjusting to that as well.
2007, we had 1 million acres of plots. We're at 738,000 now. Mm. What's the plan for the future?
Well, our goal is still 1 million acres. I mean, we're still keeping that goal as our main goal to try to get to, but our management objective is to try to just maintain as many high quality acres as we can in the program. And what's changed in the last 10 years is that a lot of those acres of CRP that were ready-made habitat, those opportunities aren't as frequent.
Right.
And so those are becoming less and less available to us. And so our field staff are having to work more on developing habitat, working with different partners, other state and federal agencies, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the NGOs like Pheasants Forever and Ducks Unlimited, trying to work with different partners to try to develop the habitat and then put the public access agreement on top of that. So it just takes more work, and these are good projects. They take more time. They're not quite as easy as the old way we had to, where we could just put a public access agreement on top of a ready-made CRP field. Those were, like I said, just easy to enroll. There was an abundance of CRP, and now as that's gone away and slowly changing, we're just having to work a lot harder at getting those good quality habitat acres in the program.
One thing we should mention too, Kevin, it's not, I mean, you can go online and the maps are updated
right
as new plots come in. So it's not just the PLOTS guide. You can do it a mobile app. You can do it online. Just give me a little information on what a hunter needs to do if they want to find something online.
Well, just like anything, everything is going digital or electronic now, and that's great. There's, in addition to the hard copy printed guide, hunters can actually download an app for their smartphone and pull the PLOTS guide up on their smartphone. They could also go on their computer, and there's a viewer on there. They could view the maps and mobile viewer that way and take a look at everything that way if they want to. Just depends on what they're looking for, but a lot of different applications out there and just another way that the program has evolved.
And the hard copy should be available here middle to end of August.
Right.
What can people expect when they pick up a copy?
Yeah, it's fairly straightforward publication. The map sheets have different colors indicating different types of lands that are available for hunting. There's a legend in there that lays out the different features and the different types of land, explains the different regulations that are on those particular lands, and I think for the most part that's again hasn't changed in all the years that we've done the guide. Just gets updated every year. I think hunters have become pretty familiar with the different types of lands, whether it's a wildlife management area, a PLOTS tract, or a wildlife or a waterfall production area. There's a lot of different types of lands that are available, state, federal, those types of lands, and the private lands as well. So they'll notice that, and again, there'll probably be some more yellow Squares in the guide this year.
Which is the plots land.
Absolutely, yep. Those are the plots lands, the private land that are enrolled in the program. So they'll see some additional yellow on some map sheets. Other map sheets, they might see a decrease. You know, the program's always changing. Some of these areas are getting a little tougher to find good habitat and enroll acres. But the eastern part of the state is actually down a little bit. And some of the larger tracts that we've enrolled in the Badlands are some big additions to the program.
Well, with this year, Kevin, it's kind of an unusual dry year. How's that affecting our plots, lands out there?
Right, yeah, this was a lot of dry conditions this year. I'm sure everybody's heard about it and probably knows what's going on a little bit, but there might be some folks that are in the eastern part of the state or from out of state that aren't aware of what's happening. But as you go west in the state, it gets pretty dry and pretty extreme drought conditions going on in certain areas. And it will have an impact on all habitat and our plots as well. Plots has a feature that does allow haying or grazing on these lands. And so a lot of these lands will have some of that going on. They're all different. So in most cases, there's habitat left out there, or on some portion of the track, there's some habitat left. But there are certain agreements that are tied in with USDA programs like CRP, and the landowner has to follow USDA rules with those programs. And so our agreement doesn't restrict or doesn't change anything there. Then there's other agreements that we have that do have a little bit more management built into them, and so we. You know, we'll see some of that out there. Hunters will come across tracks that are going to be hayed or grazed, but that's actually in response to this drought that's going on out there. The landowners need some of that use. And the hunters can be assured too, though, that their dollars are being accounted for. They're not, these areas, if they're hayed off or grazed off, their payments either get reduced somewhat or something changes in their agreement to offset that.
With these, you know, seasons starting to open here, middle of August and all the way through October and November, obviously these hunters, especially early on, are going to have to be really careful, you know, especially if we don't get any moisture with fire and, you know, and on plots land and all hunting areas. Any recommendations there?
Yeah, I mean, just use your head. I mean, use common sense. You know, carry a fire extinguisher, some water, a shovel or a flapper of some kind if you do start a fire, and have a cell phone. I mean, if something gets out of hand, don't try to take charge with your water bucket or something like that, unless it's really small. But I mean, you're gonna have to try to just get a hold of somebody. Just watch where you're parking. You know, there's a lot of these plots, tracks, and lands are on prairie trails, and they might have grass in the middle of the trail, or when people pull off in the field approach or the side of the road to park, if there's tall grass, find a better place to park and just use good judgment out there. It can be avoided, just got to be smart about it.
Like you just said, Kevin, there is going to be some haying going on some of these plots. Is there any positive to that?
Well, yeah, I mean, with anything, you know, grasslands evolved with periodic disturbance. We need that disturbance out there, whether it's grazing or haying or burning. Some disturbance is good. And so there may be a silver lining to some of these lands that haven't been hayed or grazed in quite a while. Now we have the opportunity. Producers can get pretty creative when they need hay and need grass. And a lot of these areas that we have don't have water, don't have fences, and so they're not really set up for grazing. But if they're looking for pasture or hay right now, we've taken, you know, the opportunity to help some of these producers out, but also it helps us out too, getting some management completed on some of these tracks that haven't had management for quite a while. And so it might be a short-term loss right now, this year, but it's going to help maintain that stand and that grass diversity over the long haul. So that's a good thing overall. I mean, it might not look that appealing right now, but over the long term, it'll be better for that grassland.
So hunters just have to be patient.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like anything. It's our wetlands dry down and they get, you know, they fill back up and things kind of come and go. That's just the prairies doing what they do. But yeah, if we're patient in a couple years, things can rebound pretty nice. Actually, things can rebound if we have some fall rains and we get a good regrowth this fall. We could have some of that initial regrowth starting already. But it's that long-term diversity of the stand that you're looking for and try to keep those things maintained and rejuvenated from time to time.
Any other changes to the program?
Well, yeah, Mike, one of the things that we've done over 20 years now, you know, the program is always adjusted, always changing, and we're making it fit for what's on the landscape. But This year, we're actually doing a fairly intensive survey of hunters and landowners that are in the program and landowners that are not in the program. This is just starting now, so we're trying to find out more from hunters what they want about, you know, what they want in the program. What do they want to find when they go out to a plots tract? And landowners, what works for them and what doesn't work for them? We need to have a program that works for both. You know, if we don't have a program that a landowner is interested in, it doesn't do anybody any good. They won't sign up. We want to have something that's flexible and reasonable, but on at the same time is providing that habitat value that the hunter's dollars are paying for. So we're trying to find out more of that and trying to build the program a little better around it, you know, and hopefully we'll have some results here by early 2018. And that'll tell us where we're going. It might tell us we're doing just fine. It might tell us we need to make some changes. You know, it might tell us we need more waterfall hunting access. It might tell us we need more badlands type tracks. It might tell us our focus is still on pheasants or upland game. We think we know a lot of these things and we've done some surveys already, but this is a fairly large scale intensive survey. So we're hoping to get some good information out of that.
When is the survey coming out, Kevin?
The survey should be starting with hunters here very shortly, within probably the next month. And then as we get into later fall, probably after harvest when things kind of quiet down for landowners, we'll start talking to landowners a little bit more. And it's a phone survey, and so if anybody gets a phone call or you know, I know there's a lot of scams and a lot of things going on out there and people are cautious about that type of stuff, but this is a legitimate survey and it's sponsored by the Game and Fish Department. It's an outside consulting firm that's doing the work for us, but we'd like good participation. That just helps us build a better program.
Okay, once again, when is the plots guide going to be available to the public?
Yeah, plots guide's being printed right now as we speak. It should be available, you know, mid to late August here, and should be able to have it in their hands by then. Like I said, we have 738,000 acres available this fall, and should be some good hunting on plots land this fall.
And they can go online right now and download a PDF file of a map sheet.
Yeah, the PDF files, if someone's wanting to get a hold of it before the printed version comes out, they can go online on our website right now or download it onto their smartphone, whatever they prefer.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yep.
Like Kevin just said, the printed version of the plots guide will be available by the end of August, but the online version is available now at the Game and Fish website at gf.nd.gov. Go to the plots private lands link and follow the links to the online version of the guide. You can print map sheets, you can use a mobile viewer, or you can download the maps to a mobile device. For Kevin Kading and the rest of the staff here at the Game and Fish Department, thanks for joining us this week. We'll see you again next week.